It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset.
Jacoby Myers in motion. O'Connell takes the snap, throws it out to him. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae.
I love hearing that sound.
You know, I thought at the end of the year it was nice. Allegiant Stadium started to turn into a home field advantage. You could hear the roar of the crowd.
Well, to me, it's not just unconventional. It's the right way, and it's our way.
Vegas is the global hub of the Raider Nation. Now it's got to act that way every home game.
Raider Nation, as I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
JT the Brick.
It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it.
It's a war to track down Kansas City. I've always been a big fan of running the football.
Hand off to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. First 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win.
I'm always looking for opportunities to compete, man. And this is a great one here.
And now,
Raider Nation unite.
Here's JT the Brick.
Catch in the end zone today, kind of over the middle. Looked like you were pretty excited about it too. I mean, it's just a practice, but is that part of that just like having fun again? And
having fun with your teammates, having fun on the practice field. Getting excited when you score touchdowns. Like, you're allowed to do that at practice. You know, you're allowed to be happy for your teammates. You're allowed to celebrate. You're allowed to. It doesn't have to be, all right, you score, let's go, next play, or blah blah blah. Like, all right, let's take it easy here. Let's have fun. This is football. We're doing this for our jobs. If we score a touchdown, that's a big deal. We like touchdowns, so let's celebrate and have fun.
That was a voice of Raiders tight end Michael Mayer yesterday at OTAs. I'm Vinny Bonsignor, sitting in for JT the Brick. He was kind enough to let me sit in the captain's chair today. I'm going to do my best with the opportunity. I want your thoughts, 702-365-9200. Got to Sean Reed, our great colleague from The Athletic, will be joining us at 12:30. And then Adam Hill, another great colleague of mine over at the Review Journal, Vegas Nation, will be joining us at 1 o'clock. Myself, Adam, Tashawn, we were all out on the field yesterday watching Michael Mayer score a touchdown, watching Michael Mayer celebrate, not as if it was the Super Bowl, but certainly showing some emotion, showing some happiness, showing some liveliness in a otherwise just a regular OTA practice, one of many that the Raiders are going to get ready to have here over these next 3 weeks. But it was a telling sign. And between Michael Mayer's exuberance, the speed and the how lively practice was yesterday, the how fast things were moving around, the chatter that you heard from the coaches, from the players, Michael Mayer celebrating a touchdown, the pace of the practice. You saw coaches and heard coaches, assistant coaches like Patrick Graham and Tom McMahon and Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, actually expounding and articulating and showing their personalities and answering questions with more than just three or four word answers. I'm going to get to that in a second and all of that, quite honestly, because it marks a change. There's a change going on with the Raiders. I think we saw that the day after Halloween. Last year when Josh McDaniels was relieved of his duties as the head coach of the Raiders and Antonio Pierce was put in his place as an interim head coach, and now obviously Antonio is the head coach moving forward, there was a change that occurred in the hours after the changeover from Josh McDaniels to Antonio Pierce, and it's one that we saw over the course of the rest of last season, 9 games in all. We've seen it now in OTAs and rookie minicamp. There's just a different vibe, and it's noticeable, it's tangible, and I think it's okay, and it's nothing, not necessarily a knock on what was going on under Josh McDaniels and previous regimes. It's just a different vibe now, and I think, quite honestly, a better vibe for this organization, for this team. You know, Michael Mayer, the great young tight end, saying, hey, it's okay to celebrate a touchdown, even if it's in practice. It's okay to have fun with your teammates out here. There's a lot of work being put in as well, but you can't lose sight of the fact that you're allowed to have fun. You're allowed to celebrate. You're allowed to feel good about accomplishments, even if it's on the practice field. That's going to always carry over into the regular season as well. You're building chemistry. You're building camaraderie. You're building chemistry. You're trying to set the tone for what you hope is going to be a successful season, and why not do it with a smile on your face? You know you got to work. The work is inevitable, and it's going to be a grind, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to be difficult. Yesterday was a beautiful day, by the way, so it wasn't exactly hot, but the heat's coming. We know that. And it is a grind, and it is a lot of work, and there is, you know, sacrifice and some pain involved and, pushing and straining to be the best, you know, possible version of yourself individually and the best possible version of the Raiders collectively. It is a grind, and that's going on in 32 other or 31 other outposts across the NFL. But you should still be able to enjoy yourself. And I think that what we saw yesterday, what we heard yesterday, especially when we heard Patrick Graham talking, breaking things down from a defensive perspective, and Luke Getsy from an offensive perspective, and Tom McMahon from a special teams perspective, it's the most talking I've heard from the assistant coaches, the coordinators, since I've been covering this team. I don't know why it wasn't like that under previous regimes. I don't know why it felt like pulling teeth with these guys, some of them the same, you know, coaches. Tom McMahon was here the last 2 years, right? Or he was here last year. You had Patrick Graham's been the defensive coordinator for 2 years. And you always kind of felt like, not that they were afraid to talk, not that they were afraid to say anything controversial, but I think there was an instruction from above to keep it bland, keep it vanilla. Don't say anything that's going to stir anybody up. Just kind of yes and no it. Do your duty as the league. You're obligated as an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, to speak once a week, but don't give them anything. And you felt it. You saw it. There were times when Mick Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, came out there, and I'm like thinking to myself, Mick, just say something. Talk. You're okay. It's okay. You're an adult. You're a man. And what was going on behind the scenes, I don't know. But I kind of feel like things are different under Antonio Pierce. I don't think he's going to sweat the small stuff. I think he's been a player in this league. I think he's been somebody that has had to deal with the media as a player and sees that, you know what, if you handle your business and you don't have to give away any secrets, nobody's going to – the thought that Patrick Graham or Tom McMahon or Luke Getsy is going to give some major secret away talking to the media, well, to me, that's like – that's doing a disservice to them. Do you really think, as the head coach, that something like that's going to happen where an assistant coach is going to say something so egregious that it's going to fire up the other team or give away state secrets to the other team? Come on. They know the drill. They know that they can be personable and have a personality and talk and engage without giving away major secrets. And furthermore, we're not looking for major secrets. We're not, that's not what we're doing as a media. We're trying to, you know, get a good answer in terms of a quote that we're going to put out on our, you know, in our story, or as we just ran with Michael Mayer here on the radio show. This is the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. I'll be here from noon to 2 o'clock. It helps our job, but it helps, you know, for the fans, our listeners, our readers, getting quality information that's not going to necessarily burn the house down if it's out there in the public. Come on. You know, really, seriously, it's the NFL. You know, they aren't high school kids anymore. You don't have to oversee them in every little thing that they say. I think it's doing us, I think it's good, doing everybody a disservice. And it's kind of been a little bit of a breath of fresh air so far. And I noticed that. I've never seen the kind of mood change that occurred literally overnight from, you know, last year when the change was made from Josh McDaniels to Antonio Pierce. And nothing really against Josh McDaniels. He did it his way, and he has to bear the burden of whatever the ramifications were for doing it exactly the way he wanted to do it. It didn't work, obviously. And that's two times now. You go back to the Denver Broncos when he was the head coach there for a year and a half, followed by his year and a half or so stint here with the Raiders. Some of the same exact problems that occurred in Denver occurred here with the Raiders, and it just didn't work for whatever reason. That's on him to figure out why and how, and does he need to change, do anything differently if he's ever to get another head coaching job again. But it certainly wasn't working with the Raiders. It didn't work with the Denver Broncos, and from the moment Antonio Pierce got his hands on everything over here, literally walking into the locker room, I think it was the very next day, Tuesday might have been. Yeah, it was the very next day, Wednesday. And we walk in, and there's Davante Adams and some teammates playing on a miniature basketball court that was set up in the locker room, dunking on each other, shooting from, you know, from distance, cheering, laughing. And it was, holy cow, this feels a lot different than it did last Wednesday. That's for darn sure. You know, and it felt like a burden was lifted. And, you know, you talk to Michael Mayer, and this is where it also is expressed, I think. You know, Michael Mayer now in year two of this offense, Michael Mayer having a bright new outlook on things after, you know, a rookie season that, you know, was probably more of a struggle than he imagined. And we're not even talking about the three games that were lost to a foot injury late in the season. There were long periods of time where he was even a factor, and it wasn't anything that he was doing necessarily. I always go back to how he was being used, and to me, it was a huge tactical mistake by the then Raiders coaches on how they utilized Michael Mayer. Full admission, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I watched every snap that Michael Mayer played from his freshman year to his junior year, all the way through. And from day one at Notre Dame, this was an NFL player, first of all. You knew that. You could see that. Didn't take, you know, Newt Rockne or Vince Lombardi to figure that one out. But he was a dominant player from day one. And he was a player that Notre Dame, at a high level, playing in high-level games, and I think I want to say they went to the playoffs when he was there with them and played in some huge games for Notre Dame. From day one, he was a factor and a focal point of the offense. And to me, there was no doubt that he was going to do that in day one as a Raider, but he was never allowed to do that. He was never allowed to be that early on in the season. I don't know why. You'd have to ask Mick Lombardi and Josh McDaniels why that was the case, but it was sure interesting hearing from Michael Mayer yesterday about some of the differences between what was going on last year for this offense and what is going on now for the offense, just in terms of how maybe easier it is, a little bit less complicated, than it is this year compared to last year. The offense under Luke Getsy compared to the offense under Josh McDaniels, and how long it took him to master that, and how long it took him to master that to the point where he was comfortable as a blocker. And then they, you know, as the year went on, they kind of implemented him more and more into the game plan. I thought that should have been happening from day one. You can still build him as a blocker, but still get him to the darn ball. You know, a guy that could truck people, run over people, run around people. But here's Michael Mayer talking about the differences in terms of the offense this year compared to last year.
I'd say it's a little bit more simple. Yeah, a little bit more simple. A little bit easier to understand, but I mean, there's tons of offenses in the NFL. That's kind of how it is. So I'm very happy with the way this offense is going so far and what we're going to be able to do on the offensive side.
You know, I think when it comes to, what Michael Mayer is talking about, I remember last year he told us that he kind of laughed about it, but he was like, I went from an offense at Notre Dame that quite frankly, sometimes was the plays were one word plays. Or colors, or numbers, you know, very, very simple, to, you know, full sentences under Josh McDaniels. And that's not unusual. The plays in the NFL, the language of the NFL is just more intricate, in the NFL compared to, in college. And that's one thing. You know, that's an adjustment that players have to make, you know, for sure. But it's the intricacies upon intricacies of the actual play that I think, you know, you can, as a coach, you can get a little bit too complicated with all of that stuff. Look, at the end of the day, what you want to do is get the ball into the hands of your weapons and playmakers as much as you possibly can, as easy as you possibly can, and let them go do what they got to do. Obviously, there's scheme. Obviously, there's a level of trying to get the other team to think one thing, that you're doing one thing but doing another. Angles, you know, launch points, deception, all of those things play into it. But it shouldn't be to the level of rocket science that it's bogging down your own players. Yeah, you wanna confuse the other team because that makes it easier for you as an offense. But if you're trying to confuse the other team to the point where you're actually confusing yourself, well, what good is that then? And we saw the Raiders last year, quite frankly, in the last couple of years under Josh McDaniels, just strain to be able to do the basic things as an NFL offense, just running the ball successfully, moving the ball, holding on to the ball. How many times did we see so many three and outs and bogged down drives that didn't go anywhere and that you had to punt it and put the defense back on the field? Number one, that's putting too much of a strain on your defense. Number two, it's not allowing your offense to get into a rhythm. It's not allowing your offense to build sustained drives where, you know, there's a huge difference between a three and out and an 8, 9, 10, 13 play drive where, man, you're spraying the ball all around. You're getting the ball to Davante Adams. You're getting the ball to Jacoby Myers. You're getting the ball to Zamir White. And before that, Josh Jacobs. You're getting it to Michael Mayer because you've got 13 snaps to be able to do that. It's just simple math. But if, when you're three and out, three and out, three and out, you do the math. Now all of a sudden you can't get the ball to all of your playmakers. Now all of a sudden you're not utilizing all the talent that you have on this field, on the football field. And to me, the Raiders do have a lot of talent. They have a lot of weapons. And now it's on Luke Getsy to kind of figure out a way, whether it's simplifying it, whatever he has to do as a coordinator, and get it to a point where, at the very least, to start this season, it's going to be much easier to move the ball. It's going to be easier to score touchdowns and to allow the defense time to rest, allow the offense to flourish and to blossom and to be able to utilize all these talents. What's going to be the key to all that? I think scheme. I think simplicity. I think allowing your players to play with a sense of freedom rather than burden, or like, what am I supposed to be doing on this play? Because if you're not a confident player, you're not a fast player. If you're not a fast player, you're not an efficient player. You're thinking too much and you're bogging yourself down, and that makes it so much easier for the defense to defend you. And we saw far too many times last year and the year before, it was far too easy to defend this Raiders offense. And looking back, you start thinking how much of it was the defense outplaying the offense, or versus how much was it that the offense was just held back out of grip on the brain power, because they were slowing themselves down because they were playing with an uncertain level of confidence. I want your thoughts, your calls, 702-365-9200. There's a lot of thoughts from yesterday. It was one day of OTAs. There's two more weeks of this, and then the mandatory mini camp in the middle of June. So we're going to get a chance to see the football team five more times out on the field. I'm really looking forward to that. But got a chance to see Tyree Wilson. He's still 275 pounds, but as they told me yesterday, it's a leaner 275 pounds. It's a more muscular 275 pounds. He feels like now, after an offseason where he can exclusively focus on his craft and his football, spending part of his time in Texas with a personal pass rush coach, a lot of time here in Henderson, learning under the wing of Max Crosby, who was on him about what he's eating, who's your nutritionist, how's your stretching, how are you doing this, working on his handwork, working on his footwork, working on his leverage points, working inside, working outside, just working on his craft. And guess what? He never got a chance to do that this year, at this point last year. Remember, he was coming off a serious foot injury last year, suffered that injury in November of his junior year last year over at Texas Tech. It wiped out everything in the offseason. He was just fighting to get back healthy with the foot, and he wasn't cleared to even get on the practice field until the last week of training camp. And even at that point, the foot still wasn't, I wouldn't say it wasn't 100% healed, but there's still an acclimation for the foot to get back to where it was in terms of flexibility, the soreness that was inevitably going to happen. The point being, he was inhibited by that foot. You know, he was hampered by a foot that still needed time to kind of work itself back into the type of flexibility and shape that you need to do to play at this kind of a level. And it really wasn't until toward the end of last season, a month or so into that was left in the season, where he started to really blossom and emerge. A lot of the work that he did in terms of the numbers happened over those last five games of the season. So now he's backed that up with a full off season where he's been enabled to do football stuff, not rehab stuff. And I think you're going to see a difference in that regard. Got a chance to look at the quarterbacks. Where are we going with the quarterback? How are the Raiders going to decide who the quarterback's going to be? We're going to hear a little bit from Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, on what exactly is going to be the determining factor between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. I could say day one, Aiden O'Connell looked good yesterday. And not just, with the arm and making decisive passes. And he was definitely feeding Michael Mayer yesterday. But there were a couple plays where there was pass rush off the edge coming from his left side, or like straight up into his face, and he just nice little footstep forward, sidestep, throw it. And it was stuff that you didn't quite see last year. He was really super under control in terms of the footwork and being able to just sidestep the pressure calmly and coolly, step up and make a nice decisive throw, one of which was to Michael Mayer. So that's a part of his game that we didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of last year. But I think that he's put some work in with the footwork. And if he can just figure out a way to be, and I don't want to use the word statue because I don't think he was a statue, but if he could figure out a way to be a little bit more athletic in the pocket in terms of buying some time, extending a window, and being able to let the play develop a little bit further down the field, I think that's going to do wonders. But Gardner Minshew looked good as well. So it's the beginning stages of a quarterback battle. I'm not going to use the word controversy. Controversy is not till later on, if it ever evolves or comes into play. The hope for the Raiders is that whoever wins the job, who's ever designated as a starter day one, is going to hold on to that job. If they don't, then you have a controversy. And the Raiders, I definitely want to avoid that. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation radio caller line because Robert from San Jose is in the house. Robert, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, Vinny. Very good. Do you have a understanding of how AP looks at preseason? Are we going to get Andy Reid where Pat Mahomes plays in preseason? Or are we going to get more of the Rams stuff where nobody plays in preseason? How does AP look at that?
Well, that's a great question. And can we get to OTAs, Robert, before we start talking about it? No, I'm just kidding. Because I think it's probably going to be one of those to-be-determined type of things. I know that, from when I was covering the Rams and Sean McVay's ideology in terms of playing the veterans, and that changed a little bit when newer players started arriving and you started having to, replace some veteran players. It changed a little bit. But when he felt like his whole thing was, if I feel like the veteran players have a command of what's going on, I'm not going to push it in the preseason. And furthermore, he would never put a Jared Goff behind an offensive line that didn't have all of its starters. He just didn't want to chance it. There were a couple of times where he was actually going to play Jared Goff, but then there was an injury to Andrew Whitworth or Rob Havenstein. And so he's like, you know what? I'm not going to put him behind, a second or third string offensive tackle. Not right now, anyway. If you got to do that during the regular season out of necessity, that's one thing. But I'm not going to do it haphazardly during the preseason. I would think that you're going to have to get your starters out there a little bit, because I think that one way to assess who the quarterback is ultimately going to be is to see them in actual game time. Now, again, the preseason is far different from the regular season. We understand that nobody's game planning for anybody. You're not really putting a game plan together offensively, so you don't have your regular season call sheet and play sheet, available to you. It just doesn't work that way. But I would think that it's the fairest way to get get as complete a picture as possible is to allow Aiden and allow Gardner to line up with the fellow starters, Davante Adams, Michael Mayer, Brock Bowers, the full offensive line, at least a few times, a quarter here or there during the preseason, in order to get an idea of who has the best chemistry with those players, who's maximizing those opportunities. So I would tend to say yeah. I would think so, but I don't think they're going to push it, because you don't want to push those bullets until the regular season. You can't afford to lose anybody of significance at that time of year.
Well, I would agree in terms of the defense with pretty much all 11 starters except for one, Christian Wilkins, coming back. But the offense, when two new guys in the offensive line, as you say, pretty much two new quarterbacks in a new offense, I think it's important get some time in the preseason.
Here's another thing that I would say, why I just kind of – I'm not the biggest proponent on all that, and here's why. I remember last year during training camp and preseason, the hot ticket was Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. They looked great during the preseason. Mike Tomlin played his starters. Mike Tomlin played Kenny Pickett. All of a sudden, people were, wow, look how good Kenny Pickett is. Look how good this Pittsburgh offense is. What happened when the regular season came about?
Well, they start game planning for you, and they find all your weaknesses, and they highlight those. And I agree with you.
It was useless. Yeah, everything that was happening in the preseason was a mirage, basically, for the Steelers. It didn't do them any bit of good. In fact, it probably gave them some false hope at the end of the day, because what you like exactly what you just said. Once the real games began and once teams started game planning for Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, all that goodwill that they built up for themselves, the chemistry, the timing, the cohesiveness, all of that went out the window when other teams actually started to play and game plan. So that's, I guess that's where I'm saying is, you know, it goes both ways. If the offense starts slowly and the starters didn't play, why didn't you play your starters during the? I don't buy it. I don't buy that. There's too many practice reps, and especially if you get time against another team in terms of like some joint practices, I think you get far more beneficial work done during that time than the preseason. It's just a different level of football. I'm not trying to scoff at it or poke holes on it or call it meaningless, because for some players it really is a great stage. But I don't think you're building anything out of playing one quarter against maybe a bunch of backups for the other team, and certainly a team that hasn't game planned for you at all. I think it can sometimes create a distorted picture, and we saw that with the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. What we saw was literally a mirage, and all that talk about Kenny Pickett, you know, being a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback and solidifying the number one job, and you know, being all of a sudden a guy that the Pittsburgh Steelers had found their starting quarterback, that went out the window as soon as the regular season started. But I'm with you as well, Robert, because my question is, how are you going to go about this? And I asked Luke Getsy this question yesterday. How are you going to go about making a decision on who the starting quarterback is? How are you going to do that? And we'll hear from Luke Getsy as the show goes on. We're also going to talk to Tayshaun Reed at 12:30 from The Athletic, and at 1 o'clock, Adam Hill from the Review Journal and Vegas Nation is going to join us. It's the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. Give us a call, 702-365-9200. We'll be here from noon to 2 p.m.
Yeah, I don't think traits necessarily is the right word. I think, you know, the evaluation, the performance on a whole. I think there's a lot of parts to it. I think it's the, the way that the operation, right, making sure we're taking care of the football, and then the production part of it. I think, like you said, this is a long process. We're at the beginning stages of it. Everyone trying to get a grasp of what we're trying to accomplish, not just the Qs, but everybody. And so the good thing is we got a good group in that room. Those guys work their butt off, and they're competitive, but they're great teammates too at the same time. So the beginning part of this thing has been a lot of fun.
Get used to that voice. It's new Raiders offensive coordinator Luke Getsy. It's the second time that we've talked to Luke. First time in person. Talked to him on Zoom shortly after he took over as the Raiders offensive coordinator, and the first time in person yesterday over at the Raiders facility in Henderson, just before the Raiders took the field for day two of their OTAs. I'm Vinny Bonsignore, sitting in for JT the Brick. I'll be here to 2 o'clock. 702-365-9200 is the call line and text line if you want to share your thoughts, ask some questions, whatever the case might be. You can also text us on that very number, 702-365-9200. Going to go out to the Raider Nation Radio guest line and welcome in a good friend of mine and colleague, and does fantastic work over at The Athletic, none other than Tayshaun Reed from The Athletic. He was there out on the field yesterday and in the media room. Tayshaun, I got to ask you, first of all, I really appreciate you joining us on the show today, but I got to ask you, listening to Luke Getsy just a second ago, listening to Patrick Graham, listening to Tom McMahon as we were yesterday, asking them questions, am I reading too much into it to say that it's a totally different day here with these Raiders coordinators? I mean, I saw more personality and more insightfulness from Patrick Graham, which I always knew was there with him. yesterday than I have the last 2 years combined. I just feel like it's a new way that Antonio Pierce is going about things and, quite honestly, allowing his coordinators who speak to us on a weekly basis to express themselves and expound and just be themselves more than maybe the previous regime allowed his coordinators.
Yeah, I mean, I think it stood out the most with Tom McMahon, special teams coordinator. Like, we don't talk to him as often, naturally, just because he doesn't talk throughout the season. But, you know, in the brief moments that we had with him, he's been pretty stoic, didn't say much. And yesterday, I mean, he was basically acting out, you know, the new kickoff return drill for all of us in the media room. So, yeah, I mean, it just seems like, you know, obviously some of it probably has to do with the time of year it is. Like, everybody's a little bit optimistic at OTAs, you know. There's nothing bad has happened yet for the most part. But, you know, I do think that, you know, sort of, you know, giving the coaching staff more authority and making them feel more comfortable has been something that has been a point of emphasis under Antonio Pierce. You know, both for the coaches that are coming back from last season and the new ones. And, you know, when Lou gets the coach talk to us about getting hired, you know, while he hadn't, you know, spent a whole bunch of time around Antonio Pierce and other coaches in the building, he said that was something that hit him right away, you know, was just kind of that different type of environment and that welcoming environment. And that's something that, you know, we talked about a lot last year when it applied to the players, I think, probably more so than the coaches because of, you know, just seeing like the basketball hoop in the locker room and things of that nature. But it's something that's really, you know, permeated throughout the building, whether that's players, coaches, or even executives.
Yeah, that was the hoop of hope that the Raiders set up. We'll see if the hoop of hope is still in the locker room. It definitely marked a complete makeover in that locker room in terms of the demeanor and the level of just personality and enthusiasm. It was really night and day. We're talking to Tashawn Reed, our good friend, great colleague, great young writer over at the Athletic, and does a tremendous job covering the Raiders. Another thing that Luke Getsy, you know, was talking about as he was in the lead in here is what he's going to be looking for in terms of who is going to win the starting quarterback job. And I know you and I have talked about this. We've talked about it in various interviews that we've done or sit downs that we've done, sometimes off the record with certain people, and trying to get an answer on, all right, what is it going to be in terms of the determining factor on who this next Raiders, you know, starting quarterback is going to be. And Tashawn, you've been now covering enough training camps, and I think you share my thoughts. It's hard for people to look bad, you know, especially considering they are, no matter who we're talking about, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, there's a level of competence to them that they're not going to be out there throwing ducks. They're not going to be out there looking so bad in training camp or OTAs that you're going to say, yeah, rule that guy out. So, assuming that they're going to look good, and I believe that they will in training camp and when they get out there in the preseason, to the extent that they do, what are you going to be looking for in terms of if you had to make the decision as far as who the starting quarterback's ultimately going to be?
I think the biggest thing is going to be protecting the ball, because neither one of these guys have special physical traits.
Right.
Like, they don't have big arms. They're not fast. They're not these huge, burly athletes. Like, you know, they're pretty much average in most like physical categories. And so it's more so how they go about separating themselves mentally. And one of the biggest parts of that, you know, being a quarterback is protecting the ball. And that's something that the Raiders struggled to do pretty badly last year, no matter who was that quarterback. And that is something that we did see pop up in training camp. And I think fans were alarmed about the number of interceptions that we were reporting out of 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 sessions.
This is true.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that we'll be looking for, who does a better job of that, you know, once we get to training camp. Because, you know, like, you can't touch quarterback. There is no pass rush really in training camp. But, you know, they can still display some of those tendencies of being able to read the defense, knowing the offense well enough to anticipate throws, you know, fit some throws into tight windows at certain times. And so that's mostly what I'll be looking for. If you just, you know, do a tell of the tape on physical attributes and things of that nature, like Gardner mentioned, is more experienced, but they're pretty similar in those ways. But both of them have also had an issue of giving the ball away too frequently. You know, Aiden O'Connell did that last year, you know, albeit as a rookie. And Gardner Minshew, while, you know, he fared admirably for the Colts, like, he turned the ball over a lot as well. And so both of them have plenty of strides to make in that area, and I think whoever makes the most growth is going to end up being who the starting quarterback is.
Deshaun, we got a chance yesterday to talk to Michael Mayer, and I thought there were some enlightening things that he said, and maybe some things that shed some light on how things were compared to how things are now. What did you make of what he was talking about in terms of allowing himself and the players allowing themselves to have a little bit of fun? You know, even though it's a practice and an OTA practice at that, the fact that he celebrated a touchdown and told us, hey, it's okay to have fun out here this time of year. What do you think that says about where things are right now and what things may have been prior to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it wasn't too blurry, you know, the lines that he was drawing there. But, you know, clearly, you know, there's a sense from him personally, and we've heard this from other players on and off the record, that, you know, guys just weren't happy coming to work under the previous regime. Like, it was what it was. There were various reasons behind that. But it was just sort of a down feeling that went all the way throughout, you know, team headquarters, essentially, you know, around the midway point of last season. And that ended up being one of the driving factors behind, you know, Mark Davis deciding to make the change that he did. And, you know, it was just a complete 180 once Antonio Pierce came on board in terms of those things. Like, I know that the Raiders, you know, they went 5-4 and they didn't make the playoffs and didn't achieve what they wanted to achieve last year, but the energy was just different. And that's something that, you know, has carried on into the offseason. We heard both Pierce and GM Tom Telesco talk frequently about how many players stuck around in the offseason and how it was such a higher number than they were used to seeing, you know, throughout their careers. And that just showed that guys had a certain level of buy-in, you know, in the staff and Antonio Pierce specifically. And, you know, that's translated to OTAs as well so far. And so, you know, I try to avoid making these blanket statements for everybody because, you know, I'm sure there were players that didn't have an issue with the previous regime and the players maybe that do have an issue with the current one, you know, so it's hard to make sweeping statements. But it clearly seems to be a shift, at least in terms of the overall demeanor and morale amongst the players so far.
Talking to Deshaun Reed from The Athletic, our great colleague from The Athletic, and you know, as you're answering that question, in my head I'm thinking, I fully agree with you in terms of the atmosphere and the environment and how it changed over from one regime to the next. But I do wonder, and this is why I'm, you know, hesitant to make any kind of blanket statements, because I do wonder, let's just say the Raiders are, you know, 4-4, 4-5, what, you know, just say kind of hovering around 500 again, you know, to start next season. Does that change the enthusiasm? Because I fully believe that part of the reason why it got so down was because guys were being asked to do this A, B, and C, you know, over and over and over again. But A, B, and C kept leading to whether it was losses or just struggles or a mediocre record. Do you think Antonio Pierce is above that? So even if the record isn't where it needs to be, the enthusiasm is still going to be there? Or is that going to be kind of tied in as it usually is?
I mean, I think we saw a little bit of a preview of this last season, you know, even in Antonio Pierce's run as interim head coach. Obviously, they won the first two games. Then they lost the next two and had a bye week. You know, and while it was against the Dolphins and the Chiefs, you know, two playoff teams from last year, you know, they felt like they let one get away specifically against the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
And they come back from that, and they have one of the ugliest home losses that you can probably remember in that 3-0 loss to the Vikings. Mm. And, you know, like, I'll be honest, at the time, I was like, okay, this is over. Like, this whole, you know, resurgence and the good vibes and all that, like, that's the one that ended things. But as we saw from there, that wasn't the case. I mean, the very next game, they, you know, set a franchise record with points against the Chargers and had the upset win over the Chiefs. And so I think Pierce showed the ability to handle adversity well last season. And I think that probably played a pretty significant factor in him landing the job this offseason. And so obviously, you know, there's been changes to the coaching staff and the roster, and it's not the exact same team. But I think that some of the key figures on the roster, Davante Adams, Max Crosby, you know, we can go on with the list. I think they really have a strong sense of belief in him. And so I would be surprised if, you know, like, obviously everything has a limit. Like, if they start 1-12 next season, like, nobody's going to be
correct
all into it. But if it's just a, you know, like you said, 4-4, 5-4, 4-6, whatever the combination is, like, I don't think we'll start to see things revert at that point.
Deshaun, this is a defense last year that at this time last year we're wondering, you know, or basically saying, hey, if the Raiders could just go from 27th to 21st. That would be great progress. Well, lo and behold, they ended up being a top 10 defense in terms of points given up last year. A lot of credit to Patrick Graham, a lot of credit for the players that they put on the field, many of whom and the majority of which are coming back this year. Really only one new starter as of right now. We don't know who that starting cornerback is going to be outside of opposite Jack Jones. But the one addition that they did make, or a new starter that they did make, was Christian Wilkins, a dominant defensive tackle from the Miami Dolphins. So between the continuity of Patrick Graham, his defense now in year three, and the overlap of players, the return of the majority of starters, are we looking at a defense that can actually be even better this year compared to last year?
Absolutely, yeah. I think just between, you know, as you said, they're returning a lot of starters from last year, but a lot of those, you know, starters and key contributors that they had are young players that are going to, you know, ideally continue to improve, you know, whether it's, you know, defensive end Tyree Wilson, or, you know, even, you know, guys that have a few years in the league but are still young, like a Nate Hobbs or Traylon Merrick, or, you know, Devon Diablo at linebacker. Like, they still have players that aren't finished products yet that
right.
continue to grow and make a leap as individuals, and obviously, you know, increase the overall strength of the unit. And, you know, obviously there's other factors such as injuries and whatnot, but just sort of projecting it based on the roster that they have now, like, I think they should be better on defense. You know, at least you would hope so after, you know, giving Christian Wilkins as much money as they did this offseason. Like, you're expecting for there to be some sort of a leap there. And, you know, I mean, for the first half of last season, they weren't good.
Right.
They were struggling. It was definitely a midseason turnaround where they finished the season on a hot streak. So I do think that, you know, if they can start the season, you know, playing like they were at the end of last season, then we'll see them improve. And I think that continuity helps with Patrick Graham, bringing him back and having the same scheme for the third time in a row, for I believe the first time since 2020, I want to say.
Yep.
And so you have continuity on that front. You have an improved roster, at least on paper. Really, the only weakness that I feel like you can point out on the defense is, as you said, that cornerback spot that's unsettled. And it's more of a question mark of who's going to step up here, or will they find somebody maybe in the late stages of free agency, than it is like a set weakness. Like, that could still change between now and the season to where it's no longer an issue.
Well, great minds think alike, yeah. Because I was literally going to ask you, let's fast forward a month from now, after, you know, OTAs have been wrapped up, after the mandatory minicamp is wrapped up, and they're starting to look forward to training camp in Costa Mesa. Do you think the Raiders add another cornerback, you know, at some point, or do you feel like they'll be comfortable with what they have after this, you know, next 3 weeks, month or so?
It'd be hard to envision something happening during OTAs that would preclude them from adding at that position at some point. You know what I mean? Like, there's only, I'm not saying guys, you know, performing well in OTAs doesn't matter, but mm-hmm. you're not locking up the starting job in OTAs, I
right.
would think, you know, any of the guys that they have in the group right now. And so I would think that they'd still be in the cornerback market. You know, obviously there's a few notable names out there, Stephon Gilmore, Javion Howard, and some others still on the market that have a lot of experience. You know, they're on the older side, you know, 30 plus for the most part, but they played well last season, or better than what the Raiders had at that other cornerback last season, at least. And they're still on the market. And, you know, if they're still there in a month, which on June 1st or June 2nd, I should say, they receive about $24 million in cap space when Jimmy Garoppolo's cap hit comes off the books. So, I mean, they're going to have, you know, well over almost $40 million in cap space, you know, after that happens. And so money won't be an issue, you know, if they have to
yep.
compete with, you know, some other teams for the silver services, with somebody like a Gilmore or a Howard, they'll be able to do it, you know, if they want the player bad enough. And so I would be a little bit surprised if we didn't see them make a signing at some point this summer.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Tashawn, it was great talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll see you out there next week. Next Tuesday, we'll be back out there again. Keep up the great work, and thank you very much, brother.
I appreciate you having me. I'll see you next week.
Okay. That's Tashawn Reed from The Athletic, one of the great young writers in our business, much to my chagrin sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. I know we compete, but it's all good. He's a good friend and a great colleague, and somebody that is definitely worth, you know, keeping an eye on and subscribing and doing all those good things over at The Athletic. And I share his thoughts. I do think the Raiders will probably add a cornerback between now and training camp. The question is, who is it going to be? It's Vinny Bonsignor. It's the JT the Brick Show. We'll talk to you on the other side.
put in the work, keep, you know, extending the goal a little bit each day. You know, I know all the guys talk about 1% each day. That's what we got to do. Just put in the work, keep pushing that line forward a little bit more, and we'll see how the chips fall. But that's the most important thing. And thankfully, we have a bunch of guys on the team who are high achievers. I like to think of myself as someone that wants to achieve high goals, and we set those goals and we do what we got to do to try to accomplish them.
That's Patrick Graham, the Raiders defensive coordinator, yesterday at the facility in Henderson ahead of practice. The Raiders were on the football field yesterday for the second of their phase three OTAs. They're going to practice, I think, 8 times total. You get 10 if you want them per league rules of these OTAs. And, you know, the difference between phase two and phase three is now you're able to work offense versus defense, 11 on 11, 7 on 7, 7 on 7, no contact, no pads, but you're actually seeing some work offensively versus defensively, 7 on 7, 11 on 11. So you get a little bit of a picture of what this thing might look like come training camp in the regular season. We're going to go out to the phone lines. Al is in Colorado Springs. How you doing, Al?
Hey, Vinny. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for accepting my call, man.
Absolutely, brother.
Yeah, you know, to piggyback on, you know, what was said earlier, you know, but I just got a couple things. First of all, rest in peace to the Jim Otto.
Yes.
You know, he was like, I remember he was, I always thought him as double zero, man. I was in Oakland during that time, man. So I was raised in Oakland.
Yep.
And the only thing I thought about it, I said, his name is double zero. Y'all catch up?
That's right, right?
You know? And I'm like, you know, and listen to the comments that was on the 920, you know, and listen to the Raider app. You know, one of the things that Otto was, you know, he was consistent and he demanded excellence.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so with that same tradition that's going on right now, I'm drinking this Kool-Aid, Vinny, I'm drinking it.
I hear you.
I'm drinking. And what I like about AP don't have any respect for person, man. You know, Jim Otto didn't have no respect for person, too, because, you know, that the NFL, you know, he didn't get drafted by the NFL. The AFL had to come along and pick him up, you mm-hmm. know? So he felt rejected. He always had something to prove. So we got a bunch of leaders on the team. They got a chip on their shoulder, and if you think you're gonna come into this organization, into the Raiders organization, because you was a first round draft pick or you signed a bonus, you know, big old bonus, no, you're not privileged. You're not entitled. You know, they're gonna hold you accountable, and that's one of the things that I've been hearing consistently: accountability. You know, AP talk about getting better, you know, being better, you know, we, you know, doing better the Raider way. You know, I'm listening to. He's like the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, and Matt Max, you know, and Devontae Adams, they like the deputies,
right?
You know, they getting these guys in line, man. And you know, the Devontae, he got attitude because he was a second round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Crosby, he was up here scared that he wasn't gonna make the team,
right?
You know, and AP. AP, he was an undrafted free agent. They don't give a damn.
Right.
Look, your position.
Devontae Adams was like a two-star recruit. He was more of a basketball player in high school than he was a football player. I mean, he went to Fresno State. Nothing against Fresno State. I'm not saying anything against Fresno State. But come on, it ain't Notre Dame. It's not Alabama, right?
No, but I was listening to Mike Myers, man. So I'm listening to him. And I heard him saying, you heard him when you said, hey, look, I got a little faster, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm a little faster. You know, I'm 255, man. I got a little faster. And, you know, he was talking about, again, you know, he wasn't satisfied with his effort mm-hmm. at the end of the season. You know what I mean? You know, because of his injuries or whatever was going on. Or he wasn't just getting the offense, whatever it was. But, you know, he's excited about being better, and he's welcomed the idea of, you know, running 11 personnel or 12 personnel because no one's going to know what they're going to do it. And I'm going to tell you right there, and that's where I think it's going to happen. We got a quarterback competition going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and I think one thing about AP, and I listened to a lot of y'all, man, and there he is.
Oh, I think we lost you there, Al. Great call. I appreciate your call. Call back anytime. 702-365-9200. But yeah, I'm feeling what you were saying, and I think that there is a different mood here and a different demeanor. This is the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignore.